about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
This is Harvey Gott, and I'm the host of Satire Is Not Dead. Join me every Wednesday for new episodes. Satire Is Not Dead is in the Cinescape Media Network. You can learn more about this program and other programs by visiting cinescape.media.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of The Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. My name is Tom Velasquez, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. We've passed it, but I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. I hope that you guys actually took the time to spend it with your family. 2020 has been a horrible year, and the one constant that we have is family. I hope everybody took the time to spend it with their family. Please don't live in fear, because I'm at this point, I'm being 100% convinced that this is what it's all about, is to make us live in fear. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about this fear-mongering campaign, and then we're going to talk about, on the end of this show, is, you might have heard about it, the Great Reset. What is it? What exactly is the Great Reset? What does it mean? Does it actually exist? Now, this past week, I've been accused of being too biased on this show. And you know what? I'm not going to deny that. When you come to this show and I talk politics, I'm going to tell you right now, you are going to hear mostly one-sided points of view, for the simple reason that's what I agree with. I will always look into the other side. But 99.9% of the time, the other side is not what I believe in. You know, you don't go to Rush Limbaugh's show and expect to hear him give it both sides of the story. He has a view. He's a conservative. I'm a conservative. What's the difference? You know what you're getting when you hear me talk politics. The only difference is, I'm pretty big on the environment. Not to the point that man has destroyed the environment, but I truly believe these rainforests, they need to be preserved. The oceans need to be preserved, and we need to do what we can. That's where I can go both ways on it. I understand both sides of the stone. But talking politics and talking what's going on in this election, I mean, honestly, you can't tell me that this is not rigged. I had a chance visit with a good friend this week that I hadn't seen in well over probably a year and a half. And we had to talk about it, and he was the one, and I'm not going to name his name. He knows who he is, and hopefully he's listening. But he mentioned that, you know, you need to be a little less biased on this show, and I appreciate that. You know, I really do. I love my listeners' feedback. However, he kind of made it seem like this really isn't a rigged election, and I just, as much as I enjoy talking to this guy, and we pretty much share the same views, he may be what some people would say more even keel than I am. Everything to me is kind of like a conspiracy theory, and I get that. That's who I am. But listen, there's a reason why I am this way, is because they're out there. The conspiracy theories that are out there, a lot of them you're going to find are going to come true. I guarantee you, somewhere down the line, you are going to find out. It's going to become released somehow, some way, somehow, that 9/11 was an inside job, that we worked in conjunction with a foreign government to bring about 9/11, to go to war with Iraq. I mean, back in 2000, 2001, when this happened, I was all aboard bomb Afghanistan, bomb Iran, bomb Iraq. And looking back at it, there's just no evidence that Iraq had anything really to do with this. And it's just an excuse to go to war in the Middle East. And you're going to come, and it probably won't be while I'm alive, but when it comes out that, yeah, our government was complicit in this, my kids are going to just look at each other and go, man, the old kook was right. A lot of people are going to say that. Holy cow, this is right. There's a lot of conspiracy theories out there that have been proven true. The Tuskegee incident, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which basically put us into World or Vietnam, the Maine, the battleship Maine, where we basically blew up our own battleship as it was sitting in a harbor in Cuba. We blew it up so we could, it would give us reason to need to start the Spanish-American War. These are true. This is proven true that these actually happened. Our government, and this is why I don't trust our government. To tell me that our government has our best interest in mind, that's the biggest conspiracy. For those of you who tell me, oh, our government would never do that, our government is out to do better by us, is out to do good by us, that's the biggest conspiracy in the land. Because if you think your government cares about you and cares about your well-being, well, I don't know what to tell you. I've got some snake oil that will cure any ailment you have. I'll sell you that because obviously you will believe anything. But, you know, you're going to hear a one-sided portion. I mean, that's all you're going to get. You're going to get one-sided. And I always look at both sides before I do a show. You know, if I do a political show, I always research the topic and I always go, like if it's CNN or MSNBC, I always go whatever topic I'm researching and going to talk about, I go to CNN, I go to MSNBC to kind of get their viewpoint. But I'll be honest with you, it infuriates me because I'm smart enough to read the BS that you read an article from Fox News and you read an article from CNN. It's the same subject, the same topic, and they're two completely different articles. If you had no idea what the subject matter was, there is no way you would know that that is the same topic that they're talking about. Because one, now Fox News is going by the way of CNN. So let's just say Newsmax. That's the big one out there right now, Newsmax. I've been perusing Newsmax, and in this day and age, they are the most fair and balanced. You know, Fox News claims to be, but the election proved to millions of people otherwise. And so let's just say you're reading an article from Newsmax, you're reading an article from CNN, completely different way they promote it. CNN is always going to find a way to bash the president. And it's just the words they use. It's how they, words are powerful. And they can, you can take one sentence and just change the verbiage of it. And it completely distorts the actual message just by the way that this person is reporting on it. And this is how they get away with it. They just say, well, this is how the verbiage I used. And it's obvious that there is a bias against Trump from CNN, MSNBC, and those on the right or left. And there's obviously a bias of those for President Trump for those on the right. So you have to go in the middle. But the thing is, when I'm doing my research and I look at this thing, okay, let me look and try and get both sides of the story, it's hard for me. We're going to talk about the Great Reset today. It's hard for me to look at this Great Reset as something that is going to benefit us as a whole. It will benefit a lot of people. Those are the people that don't want to work. But it will benefit really no one unless you really want government control. Then this is utopia. But if you're listening to the show for the political aspects of it, you probably are in the latter category where you want less government instead of more. So we're going to go over that. But before we do, I want to talk about this past Thanksgiving. And I've got a lot of pushback from a lot of listeners saying, Tom, the government is not trying to control us with this coronavirus. And I've stood my ground, and I continue to stand my ground. When I tell you that this is essentially, I'm not going to call it a test, but a dry run for seeing how the populace can be controlled, seeing how many people are going to be compliant with whatever the government says. This is a test. Now, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that I hope you spent time with your family, because if you didn't, It's because the government, well, most of you, because the government told you to not do that. They told you to do not get with non-family members that live in your household. Hell, Dr. Fauci said even if you're living with other members in your household, you should be wearing a mask indoors. This is draconian, and that's a strong word, draconian, but it's true. You know, here in Michigan, and this goes, I mean, we were at least were thankful to have a Thanksgiving. Chicago, I think it's Nevada, California. I mean, the governor of Oregon, Kate Brown, oh my gosh, she is telling people to turn those people in, turn your neighbors in if they're having people over. There is a hotline here in Michigan for residents to call and basically narc on their neighbors. I mean, if this doesn't scream Nazi Germany, what does? Because this is what happened in Nazi Germany. You could go to the Nazi headquarters or your local Nazi headquarters, and you could tell them, yes, sir, my neighbors are Jewish. And they would come round them up. There would be no financial reward. There would be no, hey, good job. That was your duty in Germany during the reign of the Nazis. And this is the same thing. Your neighbor that turns you in is not getting any financial reward. They're not getting their 15 minutes of fame. This is being portrayed and echoed as this is your duty as a Michigander to report those citizens. This is your duty as an Oregonian to report your neighbors who are not complying with our laws, with our directives that are unconstitutional. Your government, it's written in the Constitution. They cannot tell you where you can go, what you can do, where and who you can have in your house. You know, the last time I checked, it was my name on my mortgage paperwork. I'm the one that pays that mortgage. I'm the one that pays the bills from this house. I'm the one that pays the taxes on the land in the property. Now, you're going to have the government say, well, this is essentially not yours, because it's true. You can own your house outright. You could have paid the bank off 100%. You own this house. You don't. Because if you stop paying the taxes on the property, not only do you lose the property, you lose your house. So is the house really ever yours? Is there such a thing as private property? You know, I've seen people say, hey, these people aren't coming on my private property. Well, you know, the way it's set up, it's really not private property. It's government property, and that's wrong. We own nothing. We own nothing, really. I mean, our cars. I have both my cars paid off. But if I don't pay my insurance, I don't pay my registration, I don't pay for my plates, guess what? I don't drive that car. Do I own that car? No. I can sell it and get what I want for it, but I can't use it for what it is designed for if I don't pay the government. I mean, when you really dig down, it's extortion. I mean, there's no other word for it. It's extortion. Look, if you want to drive this car, you have to pay us. And they're going to say, well, you know, we need these to pay for the roads. We need these to pay for the infrastructure. Okay. You've got millions of people in this state that drive cars, and our roads are crap. So where's the money going? But back to Thanksgiving. You know, earlier in the week, it was about Tuesday, I think I saw it, and I don't know why it took so long for me to find this, but it came to my attention that the CDC gave out guidelines. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention out of Atlanta, Georgia. They started issuing guidelines for Thanksgiving. And, of course, it was, don't have a lot of people over, immediate household only. It was no loud music, no dancing, no yelling, no loud talking, and no alcohol. So, again, as I started this whole segment, this is government control. They are scaring us into thinking that this coronavirus is horrible. It's deadly. Listen, the coronavirus is out there. I keep having to say this same thing every time I talk about the coronavirus because I get people constantly emailing me. By the way, email me at ghostseeker4@charter.net with anything. I'll read anything. But they keep emailing me, Tom, how stupid are you? You obviously can't think that this virus is faked. The virus is out there. Well, yes, it is out there. But we are letting our government tell us who we can have over, how many we can have over, and what we can do when they get here. All because of a virus with maybe a 1.5% chance of fatalities. And that number is skewed due to the fact that during March, April, and May, numerous Democratic governors around the country decided to send COVID-positive patients into nursing homes. 40 to 50% of the deaths in Michigan stem straight from Governor Whitmer's actions and her quote-unquote executive order that said, send these COVID patients back into the homes so they can spread around everybody else. As she's telling us, the elderly are one of the most susceptible groups. She's sending COVID-positive patients into nursing homes, into assisted living homes where there's elderly and people with health issues. I mean, of course you're going to have a number of deaths. So listen, the number of deaths for normal people is probably about 0.5 to 0.6%, but we're going to let the government completely shut us down. And the best part about this whole thing, and this is the best part that I just cannot believe, I purposely started scrolling through Facebook social media, and I'm slowly starting to move away from that and get over to Parler, because Parler, well, let's be honest with you, Parler doesn't have the crap that Facebook does. I mean, Facebook, I got so tired yesterday of seeing everybody's turkey, and if you posted your turkey, sorry, I don't want to see it. I'm eating the same damn thing. I know what one looks like. You don't have to post it, and really, why are you posting it? To get a little recognition. To have people say, that looks good. Hey, you're a hell of a cook there, friend. I don't care. But I started perusing over social media as an experiment. Call it research, call it what you want. Just to see who was not having family over. And I found about 20 people in my timeline that just, wish I could have the family, but, you know, we're doing our part to stop COVID. Fine. Great. I went on there this morning before, at the recording of this show, this is Black Friday, okay? It's not the same type of Black Friday because of all this pandemic crap, but it is Black Friday and stores were opening early. And I went online this morning. I got up early, about 6:30, you know, not that that's early for me. I'm usually up before then, but on the weekends, I've got a 4-day weekend. Loving it. Thank you, boss. Love it. But I got up early for the simple point of trying to go through Facebook and seeing who wouldn't have family members over but were out Black Friday shopping. 13 of the 20 people that wouldn't have family members over because of COVID, and remember, in their words, we're doing our part to stop the spread. 13 out of 20 of those people that wouldn't have people over because of COVID, guess where they were this morning? Walmart, Meijer, they were Black Friday shopping. This is where I get so infuriated. Because, yes, I understand that the virus is out there. I understand people are getting sick. So let's do what we can to stop it, okay? Whatever, I'll play along this week. Because why weren't we doing this when the flu was so rampant last year? Well, that's because we're going to be doing it now. Every flu season, masks are going to be mandated. And the reason they're going to be mandated is because of people like these 13 of 20 who listen to the government. I can't have people over. I don't care if they're my family members or not. We all have to do our part to stop the spread. And that's the new terminology. Back in March and April, it was flatten the curve. Now it's stop the spread. We're, again, like I said in last week's show, what's the end game? But because the government said, do not have people over for Thanksgiving, celebrate Thanksgiving by yourself, do your part, they did that. But because the government said it's okay to shop around with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people you don't even know, that's fine. The government said so. And here is where the crux of the problem comes at with the majority of people. There's no rhyme or reason to any of the guidelines that Whitmer, Cuomo, Kate Brown, Gavin Newsom, any of these governors that are just draconian style, like just throwing down mandates. Well, here in Michigan, she can't do it anymore, so she's having the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services do it for her. But there's no rhyme or reason. We are not letting you have family over for Thanksgiving. However, you can go out the next day and intermingle with hundreds of people. You have no idea where they've been, what they have, and how, what they're doing. And I guarantee I'm going to have people tell me, well, Tom, they're following social distancing practices. I'm going to tell you right now, I've been to the store numerous times. I've had to go numerous times to go get stuff for Thanksgiving dinner because, yes, we had 15 people over. Okay, I expect a knock on the door sometime this week from Department of Health and Human Services. But anyway, I was at the store numerous times, and people aren't social distancing. There's no social distancing at all. It's amazing how many people I was walking down the aisleways, and people are talking right next to each other, dropping their masks down to talk, hugging. I mean, really, if you're wearing a mask and you're that scared, why are you hugging somebody? It makes no sense to me. But this whole thing doesn't make sense to me. As I'm standing in line for getting, I just had to get a little bit of spices, I think it was. And I'm waiting in line, and there's a guy in front of me. He has a mask on, but it's below his nose. So is he really wearing a mask? Yes, he is, but whatever. But there was this girl that was pushing her cart with her child in it, and apparently her husband was in the bathroom, and he came out, and she said, Quentin, we're over here. Over here. And she looked at the guy in front of me and said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell in your direction. Please forgive me. And he looked at her and said, you should be sorry about not wearing a mask. I just bowed my head and started shaking it. And he looked at me. And he's like, you got a problem with what I said? And, you know, I am not the one to get into confrontation, but I just told him the straight-up truth. I'm like, well, you know, it's kind of the pot calling the kettle black. You're yelling at her for not wearing a mask, but you've got yours under your nose. Well, at least I got it over my mouth. I said, that's not what CDC requires. So are you really following the guidelines? Well, it's better than her. I said, well, it's either all or nothing, man. And at that point, a register opened up, and he went there and stormed away and gave me a dirty look when he left. I don't care. You know, there's so many people out there that really are out to just, I don't even know what the word is, to make those that don't comply with what the government said, they feel it's their job, it's their duty, they're being the upright citizen that the government wants them to be. They want to make everyone's life miserable that doesn't wear a mask. Why aren't you wearing a mask? Don't you care? You're wearing a mask. It's just like vaccines. This whole coronavirus vaccine. Now, I'm going to jump off topic here because this week it was announced that Qantas Airlines out of Australia, they are now going to ban anyone from flying on their airline internationally who doesn't have a coronavirus vaccine. And again, this is exactly what I was talking about before. And I got laughed at profusely by people saying, oh my gosh, Tom, you keep referring to 1984 by George Orwell. This isn't going to happen. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's starting. It starts with Qantas. If you don't have the coronavirus vaccine, you don't fly that airline. Now, fine, there's many other airlines I can fly, but they usually fall lockstep right behind each other. So it's going to get to the point where you don't fly on an airplane unless you have the coronavirus vaccine. It's going to get to the point where you can't go to a sporting event, you can't go to a concert without the coronavirus vaccine. It's going to get to the point where you can't go to the store and buy and sell anything or work without a coronavirus vaccine. You think I'm kidding? Look at Qantas Airlines. Nobody bats an eye on that.
Well, that's probably a good idea. You know, you really shouldn't be in a plane without the coronavirus vaccine.
If you took the coronavirus vaccine. If you got the coronavirus vaccine and therefore you're immune to the coronavirus, and I didn't get the coronavirus vaccine, in theory, who's more susceptible to contract the coronavirus? Is it you who has the vaccine or me who doesn't? I'm going to guess it's me. So why are you concerned that I don't get the vaccine? Why is it mandated that I get the vaccine? You can't mandate me to put God only knows what into my body. You just can't do it. That's a basic human right. You know, I find it funny that my body, my choice, only goes so far. These left-leaning liberals that are all for abortion that say, hey, it's my body, it's my choice. Now, whoa, you have to take that coronavirus vaccine. This is going to be mandatory. Well, what happened to my body, my choice? Well, that only applies when it works in our favor. I mean, honestly, look at the hypocrisy. And it goes both ways. I get that. But we're talking about this right now. My body, my choice when it comes to abortion. You don't have a choice when it comes to this vaccine. Now, this vaccine is going to be rolled out within the next week and a half, 2 weeks. Who knows who's going to get it first? But are you going to take that vaccine? Because I know myself and nobody in my family is. And the schools guarantee you, you've heard it here on the Paranormal Patriot, the schools are going to mandate that every student receives the coronavirus vaccine. And these schools are going to find that their enrollment is going to plummet. Private schools, charter schools are going to skyrocket due to the fact that these public schools, which, listen, this is why school board elections are so important. You know, I know a lot of people that told me this past election, I didn't even know who to vote for the school board, so I just let it go. I didn't even vote. You have to vote on these school boards, and you have to know who you're voting for, because they are going to set the curriculum. They are going to set the guidelines for your school district. So if you have a bunch of left-leaning members on your school board, guess what? They're going to implement the 1619 Project. They are going to implement that every student has to have a coronavirus vaccine or else they don't go to school. You know, these school districts feel like they have you by the horns. You have to follow our mandates or you can't go to school. And kids have to go to school. But there are options. That's why so many charter schools, so many private schools are springing up that don't have to adhere to the school district's BS. Or you could simply vote the people that have common sense, don't have an agenda. The people that say, listen, this is your child. You do what you want. This is the curriculum. What my kids are learning today is nothing, nothing like what I learned in school when I was their age. Nothing. We had home ec. We had to learn how to balance a checkbook. We had to learn how to do a budget for a household. These kids aren't even taught that. Honestly, the 1619 project that all of these school districts across the country are implementing is basically a We Hate America. America is horrible. Look into the 1619 project and tell me that this is just not a curriculum to dispel how beautiful and how amazing America is. The cool thing to do nowadays is to basically dismiss America, is to basically beat the daylights out of America and how horrible it is. Millions of immigrants trying to get here illegally, can't be wrong, every year. Every year it happens. People know that this still, for the time being, is the best chance on the planet of making something of their lives. So before we finish this last segment, I just want to go over the news that came out this week that our illustrious governor, Gretchen Whitmer, is in the running for the Time Magazine Person of the Year. Now, if this doesn't tell you where Time Magazine stands, I don't know what does. And remember, this is the magazine that in 1938 named Adolf Hitler their Person of the Year. And then They followed up in 1939 and named Joseph Stalin as their person of the year. So, I mean, honestly, it kind of fits. Everybody's been calling Gretchen Whitmer Hitler. It's Gretchen Hitmer. And it fits. So, really, I mean, what does it take to be Time Magazine's person of the year? Well, you have to unlawfully just send out executive order after executive order after executive order, destroying the economy of the state you run, and then say, well, you know, we have to do what we have to do, even though I won't do it. Now, this is the same governor that shut down our state for 4 months, literally shut it down completely for 4 months. In the meantime, she's having get-togethers. She's having her husband call to get her boat put in the water, even though nobody else can. Then over Thanksgiving, as she's telling nobody to get together, you cannot get together with family, she hops on a plane with her family and many, 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 many others and flies to Hawaii for Thanksgiving. I wonder if she was going to meet Gavin Newsom, who was busted for having a big party where nobody was wearing masks and nobody was social distancing. I wonder if that's going to happen. Because listen, this is what happens. These governors are just sending out their cronies and giving them ultimatums. You have to do this or we're going to fine you. You're going to have to do this or we're going to fine you. I mean, we've had numerous businesses in Michigan here. I mean, these restaurants and bars from March, April, May through the middle of June literally could only survive off a takeout. 70 to 75% of a bar or a restaurant's business is indoor dining or drinking. So now you are making it so these people, the only thing they can do is do takeout. Most of these businesses and bars survived only through the PPP. For those who don't know, the PPP is essentially a payroll protection for these businesses. My business took advantage of it. We were extremely slow. We didn't know what was going to happen, but we applied, and the government, Trump's government, for those of you who care, Trump's government basically said, okay, what do you pay your employees every week? Pay them that, and if you have all your ducks in a row, if you can prove that all that money we're going to give you went to payroll, you don't have to pay it back. Now, I'm not stupid. We're going to pay it back somehow. Our taxes are, well, with Joe Biden, our taxes are going to skyrocket anyway, but The majority of these bars and restaurants survived because they got approved for this PPP. There's no payroll protection this time around. So the only reason they survived is because they didn't have to pay payroll. They still have to pay payroll now. And these businesses, they can't do this for 3 weeks. They are saying, look, not only is our business not going to be able to withstand it, but I have to lay off our employees left and right because we're just not going to have the business. And it's not fair to those employees because our governor thinks that this thing is too deadly. So there are businesses in Michigan left and right that have stayed open, that still have dine-in, and they are packed. People don't care nowadays. They are packed. They want to be open. The clientele, the people of this state want these businesses to be open. So what does the Department of Health and Human Services do? They go to this business and they fine them up to $7,000 and then take away their liquor licenses. Basically saying, listen, you defy us. We will take away your livelihood. We will destroy your business. Tell me this isn't Nazi Germany. Gretchen Whitmer, if you're looking 1938 and 39, perfect example of Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Perfect example, because they're one in the same. If you don't follow what I decree, then I will break you. That's essentially what she's saying. And she wants to continue. She wants to continue to say, I'm basing my decisions on science and facts. Well, if that were the truth, you would know that schools are not a haven for contracting coronavirus. It just doesn't happen. Science has proven that. The facts have proven that. Less than 10% of all the contractions of coronavirus come through the school system. It's a simple fact. You can look it up. But they choose not to do that. because that would go against their mandates. That would go against the fear campaign. This is government control 101. They wanted to see March, April, May, what they could get away with. And people were just like, oh my God, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. Don't leave the house. Wear a mask wherever you are. And then when it got lessened over the summer, because coronavirus was basically in Michigan, in my neck of the woods, coronavirus was not even on the radar. I don't think we had a case in over the summer here in Shiawassee County. But we still were wearing masks. Businesses still required masks. And, you know, these businesses have to oblige that, or else they run the risk of being fined and shut down. We all remember the barber in Owosso, Carl Mankey. He lost his license and still continued because he's like, screw this. She can't do it. I'll take it to court. He won. The court said, you can't do this, Governor Whitmer. You're just a governor. You're not the all-seeing, all-knowing being running this state. It really infuriates me. How many people were, because I was reading the comments when I read the article about Whitmer getting nominated for Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Way to go, you deserve it. It amazes me. It really, truly amazes. It's really scary how many people will just blindly just put the blinders on. Where's the government? Oh, that's what the government says. We're doing it because the government knows all. The government knows best. The only person that knows what's best for you is you. Don't let anyone else tell you. It's lazy. It's just freaking lazy. I don't know. It infuriates me. This whole subject of government control. I'm telling you, it's here. It is here. It's a reality. You can deny it. You can say, oh, come on, Tom, that's not true. It's here. And if you don't believe me, just keep watching and go back and listen to these shows and you will hear everything I say will begin to come true. It's a sad, sad day that there are so many people around the world that will let government elected, that we elected them, thinking, oh, they know best. No, they're not here to tell us what's best. They're here for us to tell them what is best. But we've lost that ability because we've lost the ability to think. So we're going to take a quick break. When I come back, we're going to talk about the Great Reset, because if you haven't heard of it, you need to. If you have, you need to hear about it. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back. Milk carton black and white face, smile vacant for the picture, parents waiting in the driveway. Oh, my darling Arizona.
The stuff of nightmares.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crime. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, so, hey, you heard a new ad. Rick Ness has took advantage of my opportunity to give him exposure. He has a podcast, The Stuff of Nightmares. It is a great podcast. And just from that promo there, you can tell Rick has a great radio voice, just a phenomenal radio voice. The show is full of subject matter. It's full of facts, and it's a really, really, really good show. Go to the website, he stated, and listen to The Stuff of Nightmares with Rick Ness. It is a phenomenal podcast. Rick, thank you for taking advantage of my opportunity to just listen. Anybody that wants to do it, you can do what Rick, you can do what Harvey, you can do what Jim and Mike do. Just get your show out there. It doesn't cost you anything. You know, I have thousands of listeners every month, and these people will hear that you have a podcast, and they may go do it. Heck, if half of these people go listen to that podcast, that's thousands of podcast listeners a month. That's huge. And I want to do it. I want to do it for free because I want to help. I've been in Rick's shoes. I've been in Harvey's shoes where, you know, you're just starting a podcast and, you know, I need help getting it off the ground. I didn't have this help. I want to help you get your podcast off the ground. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. So let's get into the Great Reset. And again, I've heard a lot of people tell me this is not true. This is not going to happen. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, it's here. It's not that it's not going to happen. It is already being implemented. So let's move back in time a little bit. Let's say it's 2014. And let's say your name is Klaus Schwab, and you are the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. And you have this idea, you've had it for some time, of a global reset of the world economy. But it only works, you know, it can only work if the planet is in turmoil. Well, how do you go about selling your idea? Well, again, if you're Klaus Schwab and you are the founder of the World Economic Forum, you attempt to sell your vision of a global utopia, and that is by way of a great reset of the world order, and you do that in three simple steps. Now, the first step is to announce your intention to revamp every aspect of society with global governance and keep repeating the message. You can't just say it a couple times. You have to keep repeating it. And then when your message isn't getting through, you need to simulate fake pandemic scenarios that show why the world needs a great reset. And if the fake pandemic scenarios aren't persuasive enough, wait a couple months for a real global crisis to occur, and then repeat step one. Now let's go back to step two. I got to move my microphone here. Give me just 1 second. You might hear something. Okay, here we go. Let's go back to step number two. And that step number two is when your message isn't getting through, simulate fake pandemic scenarios that show why the world needs the Great Reset. Well, it took Schwab and the Davos. We all know the Davos in Switzerland, the economic situation, but it took them about 6 years to watch their Great Reset ideology grow from a little itty-bitty seed in 2014 to a European, and when I say European, that's why I say this is already here. In Europe, the Great Reset is already here, and what happens in Europe eventually comes over to America. But it took from 2014 to 2020 to make this a reality. Now, the so-called Great Reset, what does it do? It promises to build a more secure, more equal, and more stable world on the premise that everyone on the planet agrees to act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and our economies. And that is from education to social contracts and working conditions. So it all started in May of 2018, and I did a show back on this back in 18, I'm not sure, but I was following it, I know that. In 2018, the World Economic Forum partnered with Johns Hopkins to simulate a fictitious pandemic, and they dubbed it Clade X. and they wanted to see how prepared the world would be if it was ever faced with such a crisis. Now, when talking Cladex, as I said, I followed Cladex quite a bit, and I never really watched, because apparently it was videoed. It was recorded, and I just found it this week. I just did a little bit of research, and I watched literally 5 hours. It's a four-part series. It's about 5 hours long of this Cladex exercise. And what it is a bunch of doctors and physicians and people who think they know the right answers in a forum, and they're simulating that a worldwide pandemic, in this particular situation in Frankfurt, Germany, and Caracas, Venezuela. So keep in mind that these are doctors. These are infectious disease experts. And they are in a forum. And they're not discussing, well, what would we do in this situation? How would we handle this? They're literally playing Dungeons and Dragons right now. They are acting. I mean, it starts off with the National Security Advisor welcoming everybody to the room. Sorry to get you here on short notice, but we have a major situation. And well, actually, let me rewind this a little bit. I want to rewind this just a bit. Okay, here we go. So this, again, is essentially adults playing Dungeons and Dragons. Not that that's a bad thing. I'm trying to learn how to play myself. But these are grown people that are trying to simulate what we would do. And I thought maybe this whole thing was a bunch of experts getting together saying, listen, I think we should do this, 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 this. But these people are acting. They're in a play. It's like they're at Night at the Improv, because everything is just fly by the seat of their pants. I guess, you know, in my situation, it'd be kind of cool if we got together and did this, because, you know, we can get downstairs and we can play the outbreak scenario. But this is actually what these people do. And they went so far as to have a global news network breaking news. But what I wanted to do, this is how it started. This is the National Security Director, and it's going to be hard to hear him because their audio wasn't great at first, but it's going to be hard to hear them, but this is how the whole thing started. And then it goes into the global news network breaking news. And they actually did all the fonts. They had the studio set up. They had an anchor. It's pretty elaborate. So this will take a couple minutes, but you have to hear this. Listen to this.
To start the meeting, I want to begin with showing you the Global News Network clip from this morning.
We are continuing our coverage of a new and deadly infectious disease that broke out in Frankfurt, Germany, and Caracas, Venezuela. 2 days ago, the World Health Organization responded by declaring a public health emergency of international concern, a highly unusual step and an indication of its deep worry. Here are the numbers. In Frankfurt and Caracas, the illness has killed an estimated 50 people. There are 400 confirmed or probable cases, with additional reports of suspected but unconfirmed cases. The illness first appeared in Frankfurt about 4 weeks ago. The patients were initially diagnosed with viral encephalitis, a kind of brain infection. Some also were suffering from pneumonia. The first death occurred within days. In Germany, there have been several clusters of cases within families and at workplaces. At least four of the dead were healthcare workers who had treated patients infected with the disease. Based on this, German authorities have concluded that the illness is likely spread to person, probably through inhalation of the virus. Our medical reporter, Emily Schmidt, is at the CDC in Atlanta with more. Emily, what can you tell us?
Gene, CDC officials tell us that most cases are occurring in healthy adults, but there are some cases in children and the elderly. Three U.S. Air Force service members at Ramstein Air Base have been diagnosed with the disease. Multiple hospitals are involved in Germany, including the U.S. Army's Landstuhl Regional Medical Center. Patients are being placed in respiratory isolation. Many worried well are showing up at emergency departments and clinics. Public health authorities in Germany have been working to isolate the sick and track those who have been exposed. Now, this disease is characterized by fever, cough, confusion, and in many cases, coma, respiratory failure, and death. Initial tests to identify what was causing the outbreak were all negative, but scientists at the Robert Koch Institute discovered a previously unknown virus in the spinal fluid of several of the patients, a new type of parainfluenza virus. Parainfluenza is a common respiratory virus. It's unrelated to influenza and typically causes colds in adults and croup in kids. It does not normally cause severe illness in otherwise healthy adults.
Thanks, Emily. Venezuela is reacting very differently. Authorities there are denying there is an outbreak, despite reliable reports from people in Caracas of hospitals being swamped by hundreds of suspected encephalitis cases. There are no details or accurate numbers for us to report. However, Colombian health officials have confirmed that three people who fled to Bogota from Caracas for medical care do have the virus. How is the rest of the world responding? Well, Australia, China, and South Africa are restricting travel from Germany and Venezuela. Health officials around the world are screening travelers and investigating possible cases. As of now, there are no reported cases in the U.S. As you can imagine, this outbreak is major international news. Numerous media outlets are in round-the-clock coverage mode. Some are calling the outbreak a flu pandemic, and one network has dubbed it the German flu, although experts emphasize that parainfluenza and influenza are unrelated, and there has never been a parainfluenza pandemic. Scientists have now given this new strain a name, parainfluenza clade X. You are going to be hearing a lot more about it in the days, weeks, and possibly months to come.
I mean, give them some love. They put on a good show. But again, this is like, I'm watching this and going, oh my God, I do this when I play Dungeons & Dragons. I create my own world. And that's what they're doing. So Clade X was an event in 2018 where a bunch of scientists and people who think they know more than we do got together and said, this is what we're going to do. This is what would happen if we ever had a global pandemic. And if you listen to just that news report, and they had multiple news reports after that. I don't want to bore you with them. But if you listen to just that news report, doesn't it sound a lot like what we were hearing in March, April, May? It's almost verbatim, you know. Otherwise healthy people, they normally don't get this, but this is worrisome. You're going to hear about this from the days, weeks, and months to come. It sounds really, really similar. Then they went ahead, and in a little over a year later, the World Economic Forum once again teamed up with Johns Hopkins, and this time they went along with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to stage another pandemic exercise called Event 201 in October of 2019. Now, at the end of both of these simulations, they concluded that the world wasn't prepared for a global pandemic. And a few short months following the conclusion of Event 201, Event 201 specifically simulated a coronavirus outbreak. Odd. The World Health Organization officially declared that the coronavirus had reached pandemic status on March 11, 2020. Now, since they announced this worldwide pandemic, just about every scenario covered in the Clade X and Event 201 simulations had come into play, and that includes the governments implementing worldwide lockdowns, the collapse of many industries, growing mistrust between governments and citizens, a greater adaptation of biometric surveillance technologies, social media censorship in the name of combating misinformation, the desire to flood communication channels with authoritative sources, a global lack of personal protective equipment, the breakdown of international supply chains, mass unemployment, rioting in the streets. Go over that list again. Rewind it, go over that list. Tell me how many of those have actually taken place. And I can honestly tell you every single one of them. After 2020, after what materialized in 2020, Klaus Schwab declared, now is the time for a great reset. And he said that in the June of 2020. Now, was it excellent forecasting? Was it amazing planning in modeling on the part of the WEF and partners that of Cladex and 201? Or was there something more to it? Now, there is a timeline to this. And I want to go over this timeline because it's pretty important. It brings everything into perspective. Between 2014 and 2017, the WEF called to reshape, restart, reboot, and reset the global order each and every single year, each aimed at solving various quote-unquote crises. Now, in 2014, the WEF published a meeting agenda entitled The Reshaping of the World, Consequences for Society, Politics, and Business. In 2015, they again published an article in collaboration with Vox EU called We Need to Press Restart on the Global Economy. In 2016, the WEF held a panel called How to Reboot the Global Economy. Now, I don't know where you were in 2018, but in 2018, the American economy was in no need of a reboot. In 2017, the WEF published an article stating, our world needs a reset in how we operate. So for 4 years, they went and they were just pounding this into the media, pounding. Then in 2018, the Davos elites turned their heads towards simulating fake pandemic scenarios to see how prepared the world would be in the face of a different crisis. So what they did is they turned their attention from posting articles and making statements saying we need a global reset, blah, blah, blah. And they nothing was working. So they said, okay, let's work on a fake pandemic situation and see how the world, how ready the planet is for a pandemic. And listen, I'm not going to tell you we were ready because we were not. But that gave them, when they realized Cladex and Event 201, when they realized how ill-prepared we were, that gave them the green light to go and start really pushing the Great Reset. We've heard it from Justin Trudeau in Canada. We've heard it from Boris Johnson in England. We know it's going on in Europe. That's what they're working for. But what is the Great Reset? I've told you how they became or how it came about, but what exactly is it? Now, to better understand it, we'll have to analyze an article that Klaus Schwab himself outlines, where he outlines his three steps to this Great Reset agenda. Now, the title of the post by Klaus, it simply is, now is the time for a great reset. Now, the first step of the Great Reset is, and I quote, the first would steer the market toward fairer outcomes. I'm going to say that again, and I want you to listen to the words I use. The first would steer the market towards fairer outcomes. The words steer and outcomes are not letting the natural process of the market take place. Steer in outcomes, fairer outcomes, is implying that they are going to manipulate the market, so they're going to steer it. How are they going to steer it? Now, first off, I want you to know that when they use the word steer, they believe that they are so much more intellectually superior than us, that in the real economy, they would need them to tell us what to do. So when they steer the markets, they are going to anticipate, and I don't think it's that far of a stretch, they're going to anticipate the majority of the people looking to these vastly superior people to tell us where to invest our money, where to go, what to do. The outcome, he chose the word outcome instead of opportunity. So the first would steer the market towards fairer outcomes. Let's change that. The first would steer the market towards fairer opportunities. It's not as bad when you use the word. I mean, these words are not chosen just randomly. These are words that they chose. Now, I'd like to remind you, the government doesn't have any resources. They don't produce anything. The only thing they have control over is what they steal from us in the form of taxes. That is their only source of revenue. So that means, depending on the country, you can just put United States of America in there. That may include changes to the wealth tax, the withdrawal of fossil fuel subsidies, and new rules governing intellectual property, trade, and competition. All that means is there is less money for you because it's going more towards the government. The second component of the Great Reset Agenda would ensure that investments advance shared goals, such as equality and sustainability. So again, this is kind of a manipulation campaign where they are going to advance shared goals. They want to advance equality and sustainability, which sounds great. On paper, it sounds amazing. Everybody's equal. Nobody's greater than anybody else, but that's really not how it works. Look at Venezuela. Everybody's equal in the fact that they have no food, they have no money, they're killing their pets for food. Meanwhile, the government and the media, they have all the power, and they have all the money, and they have all the food. So it doesn't work like that. So you cannot, it's, again, we go right back to implying equal outcomes and equal opportunities, but it doesn't work like that. Now, the third and final priority of the Great Reset Agenda is to harness the innovations of the Fourth Industrial Revolution to support public goods, especially by addressing health and social challenges. Now, let's look at a Klaus Schwab quote. Now, remember, this isn't paraphrased. This is in his writing himself. Now, there's a bunch of sentences in the article, but this one in particular, it really struck out to me. It really just, boom, there it is. Klaus Schwab, in his own words, wrote, "The pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world." So when you think about it, he is basically saying, let's use this pandemic. We know that we can take advantage of these people now because of the pandemic. Let's use this opportunity to do so. And the leaders, quote unquote, leaders of each country are following right in line with it. Justin Trudeau, Boris Johnson. I'm sure Joe Biden's going to be all over it. Donald Trump was our last hope. He would have basically said, nope, not going to happen. But Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, they're just going to follow right in step. So we know the Great Reset is coming. What does that mean for you? So the main points that go into the Great Reset start with the strengthening of regional development. Now, when you look at that you have no idea what that means, strength of regional development. I who knows? But the main points of the strength of regional development are this. They're revitalizing global cooperation. They are going to develop sustainable business models. Now, in this day and age, if you own a business, trust me, I deal with it every single day. It is almost a sin if you own a business to make a profit. Apparently, in this day and age, the whole point of being in business is to break even just so you can supply a service to the customer so they can get what they want at a fair value, but not enough to where businesses make a profit. Trust me, it's out there. That is the general sentiment of the consumer today. How dare you make a profit? But they're going to restore health and the environment. And as I said in the beginning of the show, I have no problem with this. This is one thing on the Great Reset I can agree with. We need to preserve the rainforest. We need to preserve nature. We need to preserve the oceans and the creatures that live in the ocean. You know, we just tend to just disregard them as, we're the smartest things on the planet. And not so sure about that. But they're going to redesign social contract skills in jobs. Now, I have no idea what a social contract skill is, but it doesn't sound good. Basically, what that tells me, if I read that again, redesign social contract skills and jobs. So basically, they are going to evaluate every person that works. And if they don't feel that they're in where they need to be, they're going to put you where you're going to be. So they're going to tell you where you can and cannot work based on your social skills. That's how I take it. Boy, that doesn't sound like communism, does it? They're going to shape an economic recovery. Well, here in America, we've got that economic recovery. It was brought to you by Donald Trump. Now, I'm a little bit skeptical by having these global, quote-unquote, elites determine what an economic recovery is. I'm not too convinced that I want that, because the almighty Barack Obama, as president of the United States, just basically said, hey, this is how the economy is going to be from now on. It's not going to get any better. The world situation has dictated that. Donald Trump came in and said, hold my beer. Just hold it. Don't drink it. Hold my beer. Watch this. And bam, the economy just skyrocketed. The GDP just skyrocketed. Nobody was expecting that. Everybody said it couldn't be done. So when these global elites, which Obama is one of them, are saying, well, we're gonna provide the economic recovery, what are going to be their guidelines? You know, we're gonna settle for down here because we really don't think this can happen. They don't want people to be prosperous. The government elites around the world do not want people to be prosperous. They don't want people to have money because that gives them freedom. They want people to be, boom, on a straight line. Everybody's equal. I don't want to be equal. I'm an individual. If I have the ability to make more money than the guy next to me, damn it, I want to be able to do it. I'm not going to work hard if I'm not going to make any more money. Why would I? But the fact that at this point in my time in America, if I work harder and I sell more and I do more, I can get more money. That entices me. But if I work hard and sell more and every little extra I get goes to the guy that sits on his ass and plays the PlayStation all day, I'm not going to work for it. But let's go back. I want to go back and give you what the Clade X and the Event 201 simulations have done. And they basically simulated this is what's going to need to happen to make the Great Reset come into play. And I want to go down that list and just, we're going to find out which ones are actually happening and which ones are just not coming into play. But the first one was government implementing lockdowns worldwide. We know we've seen that. Here in the United States, it's decimated the economy, and the economy came back, so they saw that. So what are they going to do? They're going to lock us down again. They're going to kill the economy. And then the great white savior, Joe Biden's going to come in, put in a mask mandate and a national lockdown. He's going to eliminate coronavirus because it's all of a sudden going to be gone. And then the economy's going to go up from where it was. And Joe Biden's going to get all the credit. Or Kamala Harris, whoever's in office at that time. You're going to see the collapse of many industries. The auto industry is rough. I mean, where I am a auto repair facility. It is getting harder and harder and harder to find parts because factories aren't open. I have an appliance in my house that needs a part that I have needed since May. Can't get it. Why? Because the warehouses are closed because of coronavirus. Everybody's so scared of coronavirus that nobody wants to come to work. So the factory shuts down. Therefore, no parts are being made. Therefore, my appliance is not working. Let's talk the bar, the restaurant business. How many people do you know that own bars or restaurants that no longer are able to afford it? Because of the lockdowns. Because there are so many people that say, I'm not going out because the government says I can't. Back in March and April, we were fine with locking down. Okay, we have to do it. We have to flatten the curve. The curve was flattened. We did our job. But then the lockdowns were extended. And they were extended more. And they were extended more. The curve was already flattened. But these businesses are struggling. And again, because they had the PPP, the PPE, the payroll protection, they were able to survive. And then in middle of November, our illustrious governor and governors all across the country started locking down again. And these businesses are like, I can't do it. I got to open. So they opened. And then the government came in and shut them down and fined them and took away their licenses. This is heavy-handed, Nazi-esque, Soviet gulag techniques. If you don't abide by what we decree, we will destroy you and your business. Because literally, these bars and restaurants, these are the livelihoods of many, many families. But Governor Whitmer doesn't care. Governor Brown doesn't care. Governor Cuomo doesn't care. Governor Newsom doesn't care. All they care about is making sure people are falling in line with their directives, whether or not they're lawful or not. Our governor was told you cannot do what you're doing. So she circumvented the court system and said, okay, well, I'm still going to be in charge here. I'll just have the Department of Health and Human Services do my bidding. And they're doing it. And just so you know, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, the head of Health and Human Services, is not a doctor. He's not a scientist. He shouldn't be in that position. But where were we? The collapse of many industries. Okay, growing mistrust between governments and citizens. Oh my gosh, we could go all day on that. I haven't trusted my government for a long time. Long time. I was not the biggest fan of Rick Schneider in Michigan for the last 8 years before Whitmer. But compared to what we're dealing with now, this is a walk in the park. He was a piece of cake. I mean, this governor we have now is just hell-bent on power, hell-bent on keeping power, and does not care who does not like her. She has bigger aspirations. You will see Governor Whitmer get on Joe Biden's cabinet, and you will see her run for president one day. I guarantee it. So you're going to see a greater adoption of biometric surveillance technologies. In Kent County, Michigan, and I'm sure there's places all around the country, they were using drones to fly over city areas and check the temperature of people. They would identify those people that had a fever, contact them, and say, you have a fever. You need to go get tested for coronavirus. I'm not kidding. You can't walk down the streets. Well, you couldn't. I mean, I understand the surveillance state is alive and well in America. You can't go anywhere, really, without somebody knowing where you are. Everybody's worried about this 666 revelation, the chip, the mark of the beast that they're going to implant in everybody. We already have it. It's called our cell phones, our smartphones. They're a global positioning sensor that tells anybody where we are at any given time. Even if we turn our phone off, they can still ping our phone and find our general location. You're never off the grid unless you just don't have a phone. You don't have a carbon footprint. So they're using greater adaptation of biometric surveillance technologies. I mean, Walmart, they have the face mapping technologies. Those are cameras that will map your face, that will tell them who you are. The government can go in and hit a button with your profile picture on there, and they can scan a database and tell them, oh, he went into Walmart November 26th, Black Friday. Hopefully he didn't have anybody over for Thanksgiving. So then we move on to, and this is a big one, social media censorship in the name of combating misinformation. Can anybody say Facebook fact checkers? Who is fact checking the fact checkers? Because I posted an article that I had flagged that was partially not true, that was 100% true. It was the Joe Biden clip that I posted where he said, we have created the greatest voter fraud institute in the history of America, or something of that effect. That was flagged as partially not true because it was taken out of context. How was it taken out of context? He said what he said. There's no other way to misinterpret what he said. So because it was Joe Biden saying, well, we have created a voter fraud network, Nope. That was taken out of context. Who's checking the Facebook checkers? Nobody. Because nobody really cares. Well, oh, man, they deemed my post not true. Well, I guess I got to go back and try again. When are we going to realize this is... Now, granted, Facebook is a private entity. We do not have to go on Facebook. We can go Parler. Parler is a great example. By the way, if I haven't mentioned it before, get off of Google and Bing. If you really want to know the truth about what's going on, DuckDuckGo.com. That is a search engine. It doesn't track where you've been. It doesn't track where you are. And I put in there the great reset. I went on Google, and it gave me all these illustrious, great articles on the Great Reset. And I read them. And then I went to DuckDuckGo, and I typed in the Great Reset. And it gave me, oh my God, opposing views. Who would have thought of that? DuckDuckGo.com should be your new search engine. But social media censorship, I mean, Twitter, they are banning anybody that doesn't, if you tweet something that they don't agree with, you're banned. Facebook, if they don't agree with what you're saying, fact check it. It's not true. And people just say, oh, it's been fact checked by Facebook. It's got to be that. That can't be true then. Social media is an everyday part of our lives right now. And there are too many people that take the news from social media and consider it gospel. Well, it came from Facebook. It's got to be true. Really? So all these articles on Joe Biden not raising taxes are not being flagged. But if you say Joe Biden is going to raise taxes on everybody, oh, it's flagged. He said he wasn't going to. Oh, well, just because Joe Biden, who is completely trustworthy. I mean, he didn't lie about Tara Reid. He didn't lie about his son, Hunter Biden. He's completely trustworthy. He said, we're not going to raise taxes on anybody making over $400,000. Even though his plan, his economic plan, doesn't work if you only tax those people. That's okay. We're gonna look past that. But what you said was wrong. It's the First Amendment. Our freedom of speech is being hindered by a private entity, Facebook and Twitter. I understand that. The only way to really, I mean, honestly, can you go after them? Yeah, you can. But it's just like a business. It's just like this show. If I don't want to hear what you say because you're a left-wing liberal lunatic, I can just hit the mute button and say, oh, you're gone. So theoretically, they can do that. But let's call it for what it is. Facebook is a liberal social media platform. Twitter is a liberal social media platform. The problem is they're letting blatant lies go through as truths. They're letting blatant truths be fact-checked as lies. That's where I have my issue. I pray for the day while I'm alive that I can see all these journalists that are just completely fabricating stories, distorting the truth. I want to see them brought to justice. I want to see them slammed with slander lawsuits. Will I see that? Probably not. But let's move on. Hey, let's talk about a global lack of personal protective equipment. That was part of the pandemic simulation that came to fruition. We heard that all the time. We don't have enough masks. We don't have enough gloves. Hell, I work in an auto repair shop where my technicians wear gloves all day. They swap them out when they work on a vehicle because they don't want to get that oil and that grease all over their hands. And we wear gloves all day. Nope. Not anymore, because you can't get them. Everybody was buying them up. Anybody want to talk about hand sanitizer, toilet paper, Lysol? I mean, everybody's panic buying. That was part of the simulation. The breakdown of international supply chains. It kind of goes hand in hand with the lack of personal protection equipment. You can't get anything. Anybody seen the price of lumber lately? Good Lord. It has increased like 40-50%. And it's because there's no supply chain. And then you have the mass unemployment. And listen, you can go and tell me Trump had horrible unemployment numbers, but that was not his fault. It was the fault of the governors and this is the biggest difference. I've mentioned it before. There's a difference between a recession unemployment number and a mandated planned unemployment number. In 2008, during the Barack Obama campaign or presidency, I'm sorry, during the Barack Obama presidency, unemployment was pretty high. And then Donald Trump came in and unemployment was at record lows. I mean, if you were a minority, you had record low unemployment. And then the pandemic hit and everybody's going, oh, look, he can't control his economy. No, no, no. It's because the governors, Whitmer, Newsom, Cuomo, Brown, anybody else in a Democratic-controlled state, they shut their states down. Therefore, millions of people were out of work. And at least here in our state, I realized now that I know people who were unemployed in March and are still waiting for their unemployment checks. I know people that are getting thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in back pay. The problem is they didn't have money to pay their bills, so they're so far in debt and they have so many penalties from the companies that wouldn't allow them to waive payments that they're never going to get ahead. Their financial security is ruined for years to come. Thank you, Governor Whitmer. Then the last thing was rioting in the streets. Now, listen, the rioting wasn't from the pandemic, but listen, the pandemic had something to play in that rioting because you couldn't go to church, you couldn't go to school, you couldn't go to work, but you could go out and riot and loot and destroy and kill people. The day after our governor here in Michigan told us we have to lock down, we have to wear masks, we cannot afford to go out in public, she's out in public, arm in arm, locked arm in arm with a Black Lives Matter movement in Detroit, wearing a bandana, not wearing an N95 mask, wearing a bandana. And again, this is my biggest issue with this whole lockdown, this whole pandemic issue, is there's no rhyme or reason to it. And you could say that about any state. You could say that about any country in the world. There's no rhyme or reason. You can't have close family and friends over for Thanksgiving. But please, go to Walmart the next day on Black Friday and shop with thousands of people. You have no idea who they are and if they've got the coronavirus. That doesn't matter. But we're going to shut down these small businesses because they, you know, apparently the coronavirus is very, very smart. They won't go to Walmart. The coronavirus won't go to Walmart, but it'll go to the little mom and pop shop down the road. You know, if you need art supplies, you got to go to Walmart. That art supply store that's owned by a local business, a local person, it's full of coronavirus. That's my issue. There's no rhyme or reason for the regulations that they're placing. You know, my technicians get in and out of cars every day. I do my best to sanitize them, but I can't sanitize everything. I wipe down the steering wheel, wipe down the shifter, wipe down the door handles, in and out. Any touch point, I wipe down. But listen, if they've sneezed in there, how do I know it's still not in the air? Who knows? We've heard so many different stories about coronavirus on solid objects, on cardboard, on the cupboards, on cement. Who knows? That's the problem also, is everything changes so often we don't know what to believe anymore. It's a sad situation, and the Great Reset is coming. And basically, in a nutshell, and this is where I roll everything together, in a nutshell, the Great Reset is basically the government controlling your life. You can call it Agenda 2030. It's the beginning of Agenda 2030. They're going to tell you, well, you know, you're really not supposed to be in this job. We're going to move you to this job. We're going to tell you what you can make because everybody's going to be equal. Everybody doing every job is going to make the same amount. And if somebody is making more money, we're going to take that money from them and give it to you. We're going to disperse that. So everybody's equal. If that person over there has a camper and a boat, well, that's not fair to the neighbor next to him that only has a camper. So we are going to find a way to get rid of that boat, to tax the living daylights out of it. I don't know. This is what it is. This is government control. This is what this whole show has been about. We are watching our government control every aspect of our lives, but we're letting them do it. We have people out there that are fighting it. Ashley, Seneca, Matt, Adam, Kyle, Roy, you name it. They are fighting the fact that they are not going to let the government tell us what to do, but until we realize that there are more of us that feel this way, and if we rose up, and I'm not saying violently, I'm just saying rise up and make your voice heard. What I want to do before I end this show this week is I want to play for you an audio clip of a business in New York that had the sheriff and the health department come in after the shutdown orders were there. The sheriff and the health department came in to shut them down. And they not only had the owners, but they had all the clientele, the employees, the customers, all stand in unison against these people that came in to shut them down. I want you to hear what happens when a group of people stand up to their oppressors. What can happen? And I really truly hope that this goes nationwide and realize we as a collective have more power than these politicians. These politicians bow to us. We don't bow to them. There's too many of us that bow to these politicians. We as a collective need to stand up and make these politicians bow to us. Listen to this before we go. And as it's playing, I'm going to chime in every now and then, just kind of letting you know what's going on. But this was in New York recently.
And they don't want to lose their livelihood. I've lost friends, I've lost family who've killed themselves. I've seen clients die because they've lost their livelihood.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I know you are.
That is the health department.
For the people that have lost everything.
We do have compassion for people who
Okay, well, you need to go have compassion out in the parking lot. This is private property.
This is
private property. This is private property.
Yes, it is.
It's private property. Go
I
get
didn't
a
argue
warrant.
That.
Listen, man, this is private property. They're not wanted here. So do your jobs.
Well, her job is.
Well, no, your job is to remove people that are not wanted here.
Yep.
They're not.
She's hiding her name tag. She had
I'm not. It's right here. It's my name. You can see my name.
They're just doing their job.
There we go.
You should all be wearing masks. How come
I'm not doing
you have
anything
masks
wrong.
On?
Don't worry about my health. My health isn't your concern.
You're meant to be wearing a mask. It's a government.
Okay, well, then write me up.
It's the law.
Okay, then take me to jail.
It's not the law.
Then take me to jail.
Not the law.
Show me the law.
Well, I think we gotta go, John.
You have to leave. You guys have to leave.
You
have to leave.
Right now, you're trespassing without a warrant.
Mass civil disobedience
starts
now.
You're trespassing.
Doesn't matter. We have a right to be here.
Then get a warrant, dude. Go get a warrant.
Bring a warrant.
Go get a warrant. Yes, you do.
Come back with a warrant or leave.
Don't write the law.
No, go on your phone outside. Go on your phone outside.
I would really like it if you
Where did you hear the report?
I haven't done anything.
Okay, we would like if you didn't write the law. We would like if you didn't write the law.
Leave. Who reported it? Who reported it?
You know what? I don't know.
Yeah,
because
it's anonymous, right?
Yes,
it's anonymous.
It is,
it can't be anonymous.
Complaint.
You need to
it
know your accuser. You need to know it cannot
okay,
be anonymous.
Okay, you gotta go get a warrant.
It cannot be anonymous.
You gotta go get a warrant.
You don't get to violate the policies. You don't get to violate the Constitution. It does not matter. You don't circumvent or subvert the Constitution.
Okay, Miss, you need to leave.
And at this point, they are basically saying, there's nothing we can do here. They're right. We got to get out.
No, now they got to get off the property. We don't want the animal off the fucking property.
Dude, just because
the
Black Lives Matter
you guys
protest.
Are welcome. You're not welcome here.
This is a Black Lives Matter protest.
You guys
got to
go on
head.
The road.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one. This is a Black Lives Matter protest. We're good. So listen, this is basically what we're dealing with now. We have the health department that's able to come into businesses and shut them down without a warrant. There's no warrant involved in this. They are bringing the sheriff in. Now, for all of my officers of the law that listen to this show, I want to ask you a question. Do you feel comfortable going into a business and shutting them down? Because honestly, you're doing the bidding of something that's unlawful. You are there to protect and serve. And when you are protecting and serving those who are out to break the law, and I'm not talking about the business owners, I'm talking about the health department and the governors of these states. How does that make you feel? Doesn't that make you feel like, man, I'm on the wrong side of this? Like the man said in the video, my health is not your concern. You have no business worrying about my health. I will worry about my health. To come into my place of business, attempt to shut me down, is unlawful. You don't have a search warrant. You are trespassing on private property. And I know I mentioned private property earlier in the show, but even the health department, that you heard her say, I can't argue that. I'm on private property. You came into that business without a search warrant. You came in on an anonymous quote. Now, granted, people there were not wearing masks. Big deal. That's not your concern. You can sit there and you can come up and you can threaten me to lose my license. You can threaten to take my business away from me and shut me down. But until we as a people get fed up enough to where we are going to stand up, like these people in the video, they basically were making valid points. And the police, the health department, they had nothing to go back on. They had nothing to come back on. They couldn't say, well, you're wrong here. They couldn't. Everything they said, oh, yeah, I can't argue that. Nope, you're right. There was a, I don't know, it sounded like he had an accent of a sheriff that was trying to say, well, you need to be wearing a mask. You need to be wearing a mask. And that's when the guy said, what I do is none of your concern regarding my health. Again, my body, my choice. It's funny how the Democrats can pick and choose when they want to use my body, my choice. When it comes to abortion, well, that's my body. That's my choice. You can do whatever you want. But when it comes to me wearing a mask, me going out to dinner with my wife, my body, my choice doesn't work. Then you're in violation. This is government control, everybody. This is what we are up against. And it is up to us to determine and decide, is this how we want to live our lives? Because listen, this isn't going to be done in 2020. 2021, January 1st, 2021, this doesn't magically go away. We are going to be doing this throughout 2021, even if the coronavirus isn't there. Anthony Fauci has just come out and said, listen, even after the vaccines, we're probably going to have to wear masks for months and months beyond this. They want to see who's going to listen. And I really, trust me, I want you to ask yourself and contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know if you are willing to take that vaccine. Because my theory is, if it's so safe, let all the politicians, let them all take it. And let's give it 5-6 months. Then let's see what kind of side effects they have. If they die, well, it's a win-win in my opinion. You find out that the vaccine isn't safe and you get rid of some stupid-ass politicians. We need to take this country back, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not going to happen with us just sitting on the sidelines going, well, the government told us we got to do this, so I can't have people over for Christmas or Thanksgiving. By the way, Christmas is canceled. You haven't heard it yet, but it's canceled. I'll be surprised if Santa Claus even shows up. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think about the government control. Are we being controlled by our government? Is this something our government is trying to basically test us to see what we are going to do, how we are going to react? Contact me. Let me know. GhostSeeker4@charter.net. So that'll be the show today. I hope you enjoyed it. It was a great show for me to record. I want to know your thoughts on the Great Reset too. Is this something that's happening? Is it something that's going to happen? We don't know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net and let me know. Again, thank you for listening. As always, I truly appreciate all my listeners. Please share the show. Let everybody know what's going on with the show. Find me on Parler, follow me on Parler. Thank you for everything. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. I can't believe it's already time to say that. So you have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for listening this week. I will talk to you next week.